Hi, this is Joe Scott, and we need to talk because America's got issues.
Gotta talk about what's right, knowing that the dark needs light. We don't really want to fight, but America's got issues.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to the show. My voice is a little scratchy. I've been sick for 3 weeks. Can you believe that? Once I get a cold, it just moves in, and it takes a writ of eviction to get rid of it. But I'm finally back on my feet and ready to go. Thanks for listening. Today, we're going to do a show on the pre-trib rapture. Apparently, there are Christians who look at us as though we're depending on the rapture to rescue us so that we don't have to deal with the tribulation or anything else on earth right now. We're just sitting back with our feet up on the coffee table, watching our favorite TV shows, waiting for Jesus to come because we want to take the easy way out. Well, I'm telling you, I couldn't disagree more. In my walk with the Lord, I've been on the streets since 1979 and been busy for the Lord ever since then. And I believe in the pre-trib rapture. And so does my guest today. Again, today, guys, we have another extraordinary, ordinary man that you know well. His name is Todd Greers, and he's here today to discuss the rapture with me.
Good to be back again.
Yeah, welcome. It's good to see you. It's good to see anybody after 3 weeks.
So, I imagine so. Like a COVID revisit there.
Yeah, I remember years ago, I broke my ankle, and I had to be in bed with my leg put up over my head for 6 weeks. I didn't see anybody. I was just in a lot of pain. And after 6 weeks, I saw you. Yes, I saw my husband. But after 6 weeks, I got out. And 2 days later, I was doing a radio show. I couldn't shut up. So watch me today. Just give me a signal. So I guess I'm out in public again. So folks, Todd, this thought that pre-tribbers are kind of inane and useless as Christians, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that type of criticism. Actually, a lot of times it comes from almost this bravado, I can make it through the tribulation. I'm ready for the tribulation, but you poor weakling pre-tribbers, you're trying to find a way out, and it's to me, it's you know,
and you're foolish because it's never going to happen.
Right? Yeah, you have this pie in the sky, get out of jail free idea that you know is not biblical, and I think the main problem with people who reject pre-trib rapture of the church don't understand what the church is. And don't have really an idea of what pre-tribbers actually say, other than maybe some. Apparently, they found the worst representations of pre-tribbers out there and quote them. And I would disagree with them.
They build their straw dog off of that.
Yeah, like I would disagree with a lot of what they say pre-tribbers say.
So yeah. So why don't we lay some foundation about the church?
Okay.
What it is and where we're going.
Yeah, that's I think the main thing is. You know, a pre-trib rapture is of the church. That's the key there is what is the church? Because, you know, if I think it'd be good if you have anyone that has not listened to the episodes we did on the preterists and the replacement theology to listen to those because it dovetails into what we're talking about now.
Yes, it does.
Israel, the genetic descendants of Abraham, have covenants made with them by God that's related to their nationality, related to their capital city, Jerusalem, and the Messiah, the King of David, reigning over Israel. And they have explicit prophecies concerning them. So when Jesus shows up and they reject him and he's cut off and crucified and he rises again from the dead, this is a total mystery to them. They didn't understand
right,
that he would be cut off.
Right, he was just a guy that violated the laws and the government didn't like him and another false preacher, according to them. So he deserved to die.
So when Jesus was explaining things, this is one of the things the scripture prophesied, that he would open his mouth and speak things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Things that were unknown to the Jews even, because the scriptures were given to the Jews. So when you see Jesus saying that that there are mysteries that he was beginning to unveil, and part of it was related to his teaching of parables to the Jews, because he said it's given unto the disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the others it's not given. These things were spoken in parables. And so there was a judgment that was beginning to fall on Israel, where he was bringing them under his divine judgment and cutting them off. And part of this mystery that's revealed in the New Testament is that Israel would be cut off. And this is something that was completely, completely unknown and not even understandable to the first century
Unthinkable.
Jews. Right. Because to them, it's God contradicting himself.
Right.
And for us, we would agree, yeah, if you take a literal interpretation of the Bible, which is what we do, then you expect Israel to receive their promises, their covenants are going to be fulfilled. The Messiah is going to reign in Jerusalem. And so we expect that. But we expect it to happen again, because we don't believe that all the prophecies are finished with Israel. So we're anticipating, we would be anticipating this before there was an Israel. There were Bible believers who were anticipating Israel would exist before they began to exist again in 1948. So this is what happens when you follow a strict literalist interpretation of the Bible. You have to believe Israel is significant, and you have to believe that the church is not Israel and did not replace Israel. It's another a body that is a mystery. And so if you don't really understand that, then a pre-trib rapture of the church makes no sense, because you think the church is everybody from Adam until the end,
From the beginning of the Bible up until Jesus being rejected in Israel, they've been rejected by God, but God just never replaced them with somebody else,
right?
Which was unthinkable to them, especially the Gentiles, the dogs,
right? Yeah, these filthy sinners have replaced the covenant people of God. That's God would have to deny himself, and that's why it's
but for a time,
right?
Not completely. He
exactly.
just used us to, as my husband always says, to make them jealous,
right? And that's I think this is really the main. I think this one verse sort of encapsulates why people don't accept or understand a pre-trib rapture of the church. Is Paul said it, and Peter even said that the things that Paul wrote are hard to understand to them as Jews, and especially. But he says in Romans 11:25, he says, "I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved." So that right there is, if you don't understand that, this is a New Testament revelation, was not understood in the Old Testament. Jesus reveals it partially, but the Jews being cut off, Israel being cut off, was not a fulfillment of their prophecies. Daniel's 70th week wasn't finished. It still isn't finished. And so for them to be cut off, this mystery, until the Gentiles are grafted in among them, to them, this makes no sense at all. This is God. This is not the covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it has to be received with, from a Jewish perspective, because the Old Testament is a Jewish book. It's primarily, promises given to the Jewish people. So you have to read it, and there's a just real quick to throw a couple verses in to kind of indicate this. When Jesus was on the earth, they didn't expect the Messiah was going to be crucified. They weren't thinking, here's the Messiah, he's going to have to die and rise from the dead. That was completely foreign to them. They had no concept of that.
That's the apostles you're talking about.
Yeah, all the apostles, the disciples, the Jews, they even said, well, if the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, we've heard that the Messiah, that Christ abideth forever. Who is the Son of Man? Like, this makes no sense. And when Jesus, it's in multiple places, I'll just pull one out here for now, but in Luke chapter 18, Jesus says that, he's telling his disciples this. He says, he took this verse 31 in Luke 18, he says, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And the next verse here, it says, and they understood none of these things. And the saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. They had no concept. Even after his resurrection in John 20, it said they, after he literally rose from the dead, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 9, it says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead.
Right.
So that to them, the Messiah is coming, the political leader, he's going to conquer the world, and he's going to reign in Jerusalem. And we believe that's going to happen. But what they didn't see is that the Messiah is going to be cut off and wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace would be upon him. He would fulfill the Mosaic types of the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. And Daniel said he would be cut off, but not for himself. And so all these things had to be fulfilled, and Jesus told them that, but they did not get it. It didn't make sense to them.
It did, and it's evidenced by after he was killed and put in the grave, it was Mary that ran to see the
And they
tomb.
Weren't expecting to see him risen from the
no,
dead.
No, they weren't. In fact, she was saying someone stole him, you know? Even no matter how much Jesus let them know, this temple will be down destroyed. In the grave for 3 days and it'll rise, you know?
So we when we have an idea of the Bible, of the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we understand that there is a learning curve that's going on with the Jewish disciples. Because the early church was all Jewish. And they are indoctrinated fully in the Jews' religion, and they understand the Jewish scriptures, and so they believe these things. So to them, the Jews being cut off and Gentiles being grafted in was not something that they understood. Like, even after Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples for 40 days, he said to them, and the disciples actually asked him, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Because they didn't have an idea of a church age and the Gentiles being grafted in and there not being any distinction between Jew and Gentile. This is mystery revelation. So they're saying, well, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? And he said, it's not given you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So it's going to happen, but not in the times and the seasons that are being revealed to you right now. You can't bear them. And he actually said that to the disciples. And this is one of the reasons why people have trouble when they're reading the Olivet Discourse passages. As Ken mentioned earlier, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, you don't see a clear, distinct revelation of the church in those passages because
it
wasn't revealed yet. Yeah. It wasn't fully revealed. And just let me throw this in, because I know immediately I can hear people saying, oh, well, Jesus told him he would build his church. Right. But they didn't understand that. And it began when he began to build the church on the foundation of the holy apostles and prophets, which started after his resurrection. So the church wouldn't have started until people were born again, which wouldn't have happened until his resurrection. So the church didn't start.
After his resurrection.
Yeah, it couldn't have happened until the Spirit indwelt them, and the Spirit was not given until Jesus was glorified. So this whole body dynamic, if you will, the body of Christ, where Jew and Gentile are baptized into one body and are made partakers of one Spirit. Well, this is post-Old Testament. This could not have existed in the Old Testament. This is a New Testament thing. And Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 16, he said, I have many things, in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Now that, explain when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Because I don't think a lot of people understand that either.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is basically, Jesus is telling the disciples, there's stuff that you can't understand right now. And part of it, we know, because of Paul's, explains it in Ephesians chapter 3. I mean, this is a direct, explicit reference to what Jesus was just saying there. There's many things, he says to the Jewish disciples early on, many things I have to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And so Paul, who is an apostle to the Gentiles, you know, it would make sense that he would have this revelation more than anyone else, because he's going to the Gentiles and he needs to make sense of what's going on with his ministry. And so Paul says in Ephesians 3, He says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And this is the significant thing here, is which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Well, what is this revelation that was kept secret from the foundation of the world, but now is revealed? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So this mystery was that Gentiles would be included and grafted in among these Jews. And again, it's not the whole house like we talked about in the other series there.
Yeah.
Not the whole house of Israel, a remnant of the Jews. Like Paul was a remnant, and he was an Israelite. But he in the church is primarily Gentile in orientation. You know, every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Jesus sent the disciples into all the world to teach and baptize all nations. And there's a remnant of Jews that have been provoked to jealousy and have been grafted in. But ultimately, he says, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, then all Israel shall be saved. God said, I will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So there's an end to this thing. There's a closure to it.
And, you know, right after Christ died and between that time and Paul being knocked off the donkey on the way to Damascus, it's a real beginning of a transition period that, you know, overlaps into Paul saying, right. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I've been sent to the Gentiles. And Peter and James and John, they're gonna still be taking care of the Jews.
Well, that,
because the Jews at that time that were under the old covenant, they weren't released from that covenant. They finished out their life living under that covenant, but the Jews that were being saved at that time were under the new covenant.
Well, and you think with chapter 9 of Acts, when Paul gets converted, chapter 10 is when Peter goes to Cornelius' house and brings the gospel to the Gentiles.
Right.
And that in itself was something that Peter didn't understand. Like, I'm not supposed to go and partake of anything unclean, and the vision that he had of
he's
the sheet let down.
He's arguing with God, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, well, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common or unclean. And it was interpreted to him as God hath not called any man common or unclean. And, you know, and so this revelation was just occurring to Peter in Acts chapter 10. So this is right after Paul gets converted. God's starting to open the door to the Gentiles in a new way. And again, the disciples did not fully grasp this. They're thinking we are Jews under the old covenant. They're thinking they don't understand. They have revelation. They know that they're learning, basically. I guess what we're trying to get at is that they didn't know everything when they were preaching during Christ's ministry. They weren't preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ because
they didn't preach
the law. Right. We just read where he told them he was going to be crucified and rise again, and they didn't understand it.
Right.
So there is a transition that's going on, and if you don't get this transition, if you don't understand what's happening, the church, the idea of the church, first of all, you have a skewed idea of what the church is. You know, you'll either expand it to include everybody, which it doesn't, because it began when Jesus said, I will lay the foundation, build the church. You know, he's the chief cornerstone. And it would involve Jew and Gentile, but it would be built upon the foundation of the holy apostles and prophets. But it would also contain, this is another thing Paul prayed in Romans or in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened to know really the riches, the glory of God's inheritance in the church. Like there is inheritance of God's grace in the church that is not in Israel, that's not in anyone else. It's contained in this body of believers where God takes Jew and Gentile in his prudence, and he brings them together in one body and reconciles them as a bride, which is a mystery.
And puts them under grace.
Yeah.
Which the Jews didn't understand because they had been so, for how many thousands of years, under the law, having to obey the law and all the commandments of it. Mm-hmm. But now here come these Gentiles and they don't have to follow the law. They don't have to follow the food restrictions. Mm-hmm. They don't have to follow the ceremonial law. You know, right. What's going on here?
When even in Acts 15, when that became a dispute that came up to the apostles and elders, and it said they had no small dissension and disputation with the Jews, because they said, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved.
Right.
And even though Peter and them believed you had to be circumcised, because that was, you know, Abraham told them, that was a covenant with Abraham, they weren't fully understanding that this circumcision was not relevant to your justification. And Paul was trying to say, hey, I'm getting Gentiles saved by the gospel, and I'm not getting them circumcised. You know, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. So when they had this dispute in Acts chapter 15, they were just now coming to terms with the fact that God justifies people apart from the law of Moses. He justifies them on the basis strictly of their faith in Jesus Christ. And Peter at this point had a good firm grasp of that, because he says in verse 7, when the elders and the apostles are disputing this, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Mm-hmm. So now he didn't know that at the beginning of Acts.
No.
He didn't understand that.
And I can't imagine the kind of unbelievable, mind-blowing experiences they were having. Because here's Jesus, he's back. So of course they're going to believe he's going to set up his government. You know, he came back from the dead, he's here, we win, it's over, he's going to set up his government. No, that's not what's happening.
Right.
And it just, everything they really think is going to happen next never does. It's always something that just kind of blows their mind.
Yeah, and that's why you have to take the Bible literally. And if they would have taken the Bible literally, they would have understood, well, somehow the Messiah has to be cut off. And really, if you take Paul, I believe, who wrote Hebrews, you know, to be disputed, whatever. But if you read the argumentation in Hebrews, that was available to them to all the Jews before Christ came. They could have reasoned the same way. They could have said, well, if the blood of bulls and of goats would have taken away sin, then why would they need to continually be offered? Or why would God say that he's not pleased with the blood of bulls and of goats? I mean, they would start to reason their way through this. And so what sacrifice would be acceptable? Well, what's the Messiah being cut off? He's being crucified? Oh, he's the lamb he's the Passover. He's the Day of Atonement. And they would have begun to understand all these things point to Christ.
Right. And that would have been a little bit easier for them than us just picking up the Bible today and understanding if we didn't have the background, you know.
Right. Yeah. Like we're reading it in America thinking that the Bible's all about us. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no, the Bible was about the Jews. And it was talking about them. And we are a mystery, that the parenthesis that we were talking about in the other series on preterism.
Yeah.
We are like a parenthesis that God, he knew about. It's not like it took him by surprise, but he had intentions on it, as we mentioned, to provoke Israel to jealousy. But Daniel's 70th week is what the tribulation is for. And so right now, we're not in the tribulation, period. We are in tribulation. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But when we talk about a pre-tribulation rapture, what we really are saying is a pre-70th week resurrection of the church, caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
God takes these people that he put in to make Israel jealous out of the way, so that he now can deal directly with the nation that he created miraculously through Abraham and Sarah.
Right. So that's that. If you the foundation that we, in order to understand a pre, and I would prefer to call it a pre-70th week, because pre-tribulation, you know, makes it sound like the church isn't expected to go through tribulation. And the church has always gone through tribulation from day one.
Today. Look at Nigeria. There are more Christians being slaughtered there than anywhere else, I think, right now in the world.
Yeah. And so the church, we're not, pre-trib rapture does not say the church will never have tribulation. It doesn't even say that America won't collapse. You know, it doesn't follow logically that if you believe in a pre-trib rapture that you don't expect there to be trials in the world. We know there will be trials.
Yeah.
But what we're strictly saying is that in a very strict theological sense, that the 70th week of Daniel, which is for the restoration of Israel after their punishment, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. God said in Deuteronomy 4, around verse 30, that when thou art in tribulation in the latter days, in the latter times. So they were expected, they were anticipating to be in tribulation in the latter times. And he said in a number of places, I was just reading today in Leviticus 26, God said over and over again that he would punish them because of their sins. And he said it over and over again, seven times. You know, I will punish you seven times more for your sins, verse 18. You know, verse 21, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. You know, verse 24, if you walk contrary to me, I also will walk contrary to you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And so we see this hint of a week of years, seven times, you know, the 7 years that that God has yet to finish with Israel, that Daniel prophesied of. But the 69th week and the 70th week, there's a gap. There's a parenthesis. And the mystery of the church was revealed within that. But when they read that in the Old Testament, and this is why the preterists, you know, we talked about, they think that we are twisting the scriptures to get that in there. You know, and it's like, no, this is how the New Testament interpreted the Old Testament. You know, when we spoke of, when Jesus said that, you know, that the anointing of the Lord was upon him. He had been anointed to preach the gospel. Well, he was the one that put a division there, a gap between the great day of his wrath, the judgment that was coming, and the anointing when he was bringing deliverance to the captives.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that put that gap there, that division. And we see it all over the place in Scripture.
Yeah, we do. So now in just a couple of sentences, Israel
are the physical descendants of Abraham through Isaac, right?
Right.
Not, nation, not Ishmael, but Isaac.
Yeah, the nation God miraculously rose.
Yeah, a nation. I should make that clear, is that it's not just scattered Jews over the earth. It's those that are gathered within the geography that God told Abraham they would have. That's God's concept of Israel.
Yeah, and what's so important is throughout the whole Old Testament is the genealogies. And I know a lot of people don't pay much attention to the genealogies, but when you're talking to the Jewish people, when you take them out of the Old Testament, because they know that, you know, the Savior's supposed to come in the line of David, and you get to the New Testament, it opens up with Jesus, the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so important for us to know that, so that we can witness to the Jews today. But they're not us.
And, you know,
we're not in that lineage.
This is also, like, you bring that up, like it's exactly the point, is he goes right into the genealogies, linking Christ back to Abraham.
Right.
And so... When we see that, it's literal, you know, these genealogies are literal, that they're meant to be understood as literal history. And so what happens with the preterists is they say, well, now that Christ has come, suddenly, you know,
none of that matters.
Right, yeah, now that the Christ has come, the Jews, the nation of Israel, are not significant anymore. And, you know, one of the things we brought up just briefly when we were discussing those topics is that one of the things that leads the preterists, and again, if they, you know, haven't listened to those episodes, I encourage you to do that, because preterists believe that all these things, the end of the world, the book of Revelation, the Antichrist, all those things happened in 70 AD, and it was only a reference to Israel, and it was only a reference to their destruction. You know, the end of the world meant the end of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so some of the verses that they actually point to are verses that we as pre-tribulationists point to as indicating that the coming of the Lord is imminent. Because they would go to verses like Revelation 1, when Jesus said in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And then in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And so they're reading this, preterists, and they're saying, oh, well, see, it's shortly, it's going to come to pass, it's quickly, behold, I come quickly. Jesus said that a number of times through the book of Revelation. Even the very last verse, he says, the second to last verse, surely I come quickly. And so he says this over and over again, and the preterists are saying, see, that meant it was imminent for the first century. And so it must have not been literal. And what we're saying is, see, he said that to the first century, and it was literal, and so it still applies to us.
Mm-hmm. It's imminent any moment.
Right. And so that's why we're to be watching for the Lord to come.
Yeah. That's why we're watching. I'm going to see. I think our producer's got a time for us right now. I think we don't have much time left for this show. So we're going to end right here.
Okay.
And thank you for being here. You're going to do a second show with me next week. Thank you for being here, Todd. It's always a delight. I love our discussions. And folks, thanks for listening. I hope you take these topics seriously, because they're topics that really affect us in our walk every day. We are to know, Jesus said, you know, you do err not knowing the signs of the times. And we need to know the signs of the times. We need to understand. And if you study and work your way through the Bible, you'll come to the truth. And that's what we're here to help you do. Thanks for listening. This is America's Got Issues, signing off. America's Got Issues.